Good morning and welcome to Great Loop Radio, brought to you every Friday morning at 10 a.m. by America's Great Loop Cruisers Association. AGLCA and our Admiral sponsors, Barber Marina, Curtis Stokes & Associates, Dog River Marina, Dozier's Regatta Point Yachting Center, Dozier's Waterway Guides and Magazine, and Skipper Bob Publications invite you to join us as we explore the Great Loop every Friday morning with a show chock full of information that's useful to you, whether you are dreaming of, in the midst of, or planning a trip around the Great Loop. And don't forget to visit our ship store at www.greatloop.org, ship store. Thanks and enjoy the show.
As Beth said, this is AGLCA, also known as America's Great Loop Cruisers Association, weekly blog radio show. Steve is with us as usual. Steve is customer service and technical problems, and I am the director and basically answer a lot of emails from you guys, which I love doing. For those non-members out there listening to the show, the Great Loop is the continuous waterway that includes the eastern portion of North America, which is the Atlantic and Gulf Intracoastal Waterways, the Great Lakes, the Canadian Heritage Canals, and the inland rivers of America's heartland. Our organization was put together to help people share the sense of adventure and curiosity about the Loop. Our primary purpose is to get you information and enhance the overall experience. Our website is www.greatloop.org. Please visit, and if you're not a member, we'd love for you to join. Our co-host this week is Barbara Benjamin. Barbara is a Gold Looper who has done the Loop with the couple's golden retriever, Lily. She'll tell us about the advantages and disadvantages of cruising with a pet and just about everything you need to know. We've met Golden Lily and Barbara and Jim, and they're a great cruising couple, and triple, I should say. If anyone would like to call in with questions or comments for Barbara, the toll-free number is 877-497-1815. Okay, Barbara, let's get started. Let's start with how do you prepare your pet to do extensive cruising?
Well, we've had a golden retriever before Lily when we started after our other dog died, and we started, and that's 1993. So we knew exactly what worked and what didn't work on a boat. So when we bought our Nordic Tug, was one of the boats that we found that was totally, completely, easily accessible for a pet, for a large dog.
And how did you train the dog itself?
Okay, well, we took her for less. It's one of the things about preparing your pet is giving your dog time on the boat before a long trip, taking trips out on the water, seeing where it's comfortable for them to ride and where they can be safe. And also, we found obedience training before, you know, taking a long-term cruise, learning to sit, down, stay, heel, and come. We found a well-mannered dog is welcomed anywhere. It makes your life and the dog's life much happier and easier. I think people traveling with smaller dogs might find it a little easier because you can just pick them up and take them on and off the boat. But with 75 pounds, we really had to come up with strategies and ways to get her off the boat in different situations.
And how did you do that?
Okay, well, we had we were able to get her off in between the pilot house doors, under the deck, the railings, and off the swim platform. When we came to floating docks, that wasn't a problem. She just hopped off the back swim deck.
Uh-huh.
But when we came to fixed docks, where there was this significant tide level and the boat was way too low, even for us to get off, it was a little difficult. Some of the fixed docks were short. They only came 10 feet out from the main dock.
Uh-huh.
And we used a tailgate ramp, and that went under the ladder on top of the propane compartment and scooted up the top. She had to shimmy up the top for that. So the only thing we found difficult was fixed docks.
Uh-huh.
But the telescoping tailgate ramp is one of the things on my equipment list that is definitely a great idea to have aboard a boat.
Okay, now what about shots and papers to get in and out of various, well, Canada particularly?
We always carried a Raber certificate. That was, I think, a requirement, especially going into Canada, you're going into different states. We also carried an updated paper of all the vaccines that she's had, the distemper and whatever our vet gave, plus just an updated health report just in case something happened and she had to go into the hospital, the vet or something. We also carried a first aid kit of significant type bandages because on the loop there are some places in the North Channel when you anchor there's really no way to get to any help. So we had blood clotting medication. It's like a powder that doctors use on very small wounds, toenails. We had all sorts of bandages, ACE bandages, rolling bandages, gauze. It's like almost an EMT kit for dogs our vet put together. We carried, our vet gave us amoxicillin, flagyl, Baytril, for emergency medications, heartworm, we carried that, flea and tick, rescue remedy, which is a great idea if the dog gets really nervous or upset. If people can use it as well, you can get it in a health food store.
What is it called again, Barbara?
It's called rescue remedy.
Really?
You can put it you can put it on your tongue, a little drop. You can put it in water to drink, or you can, I think they have a spray. Just spray it in their mouth every half hour. I never had to use it with Lily. She was good. Our other golden retriever, Polly, she was upset one day on Long Island Sound with 4 or 5 footers, and I gave her some of that, and it did calm her down. So that's a good emergency. And so the only time they ever asked for a rabies certificate was Burton Island State Park on Lake Champlain. They required to see that, but no one ever asked for it, but we had it. We kept it in her folder of papers.
Now, was it difficult to stock up on pet food while you were gone?
We stocked up before we left. We had enough to get to Chicago from Connecticut.
And that's a good supply.
Yeah, we bought 5-pound bags only because we didn't want to open a big bag. Being on the boat with a lot of dampness or moisture, it would go bad. And we just found a place to stock all the bags. In Chicago, we Googled pet food stores, and there was one locally that sold the brand that we use. So and we had enough to get to Florida. We bought enough for that. So and then coming back, it was easier. But we
important to keep with the same brand, do you think?
I did. We just always I didn't like to change dog food unless I had to.
Uh-huh.
We just kept with the same one.
Okay. Yeah. Now, how about the boat? What was involved in getting the boat ready for your pet?
Well, we had one thing we found from all our boating experience, we used bath mats, the kind you use in your shower. We would get the extra long one and put them on the swim deck, and that would give extra traction for hopping off because the nails can slip a little bit, their feet.
Uh-huh.
So, but you have to remember before you leave to take the bath mat up. We've lost many bath mats after we got underway. They're under the water. But also at certain parts of the deck, the bath mats worked really well. We also bought gates from an obedience dog trial place. I guess you can get them anywhere. They're accordion type so that you can, they squish right in and then they lay flat and they're easy to store. And we used them to close off areas of doors, access to the deck that we just didn't want her to get out. If we were busy doing something, we kept the doors open. She couldn't get off the boat.
Uh-huh.
Those were great. We also checked our rails to make sure she couldn't fall under, which on our boat she could, so she was never allowed on the to walk around the boat. She could only stay on the cockpit. So that's when we used the accordion-style folding gates. And another thing is finding a safe place. If the water should get rough, where do you want your pet to be? It's you know, they have to be secure. We did not bring a crate with us only because our helm station, there was a place under Jim's feet where she could hunker down and feel safe. But you want to make sure there's a place that they can go, that they don't flop around or, you know, could get injured.
I guess it's all just common sense on, you know, preparing to make sure that the dog is safe.
Pretty much. You know, it's just that sometimes, you know, some of the things we didn't think about, so you just don't realize we just put the dog on the boat and we're just going to take a ride and all of a sudden it gets rough and like, oh, my, where do I put my dog? You know, because usually our other boat, our dog used to like to stay on the couch, but when it got rough, she would hunker down under the dash area under the helm station. So we said, oh, that's a good place under my seat, you know, so...
Uh-huh. How much equipment did you need to bring that was extra for Golden Lily? I'm sorry, for Lily.
Okay. We brought several leashes just in case we lost one. A 20-foot cotton lead we found came in handy. If we needed to just tie her somewhere, she would be either on the boat or in the cockpit or outside. So something longer. We also found we had polypropylene line. I think we had about 12 feet of it. And it can float, And whenever she went into the dinghy, I always made sure I was holding that polypropylene line in case she slipped and went in the water.
Uh-huh.
She couldn't, the line wouldn't sink. She couldn't get her feet tangled. And we could hold on to her because some places there's current. And if the wind's blowing and they miss the dinghy and they're in the water, you know, it's kind of a safety thing to have. We also had a rough wear, heavy-duty float coat, PFD, for her. She
uh-huh.
never really used it that much. That was our emergency one in case we needed to put our type 1s on. But we did buy the pause board, actually from the AGLCA website years ago. It's much more lightweight,
uh-huh.
flexible for sitting in the dinghy.
Did she ever fall overboard? Or it
no.
threw into the water while getting into the dinghy?
No, she never did. We tied
so
the dinghy close to the swim platform, and I put a bath mat from the swim deck over the pontoon of the dinghy so that she had, you know, her foot couldn't go between.
Uh-huh.
We also used a Comfort Flex sport harness. We've used other harnesses before, but I found this one to be really good. It has a nice, it's used for agility. It's got a nice big handle, and we know other people that belong to the Great Loop have three Goldens, and they suggested these harnesses, and it's really wonderful. They can just wear it. It's not cumbersome, and you really have a good grip, especially jumping on and off the boat. It's just good to have a handle, especially walking on the dock as well, because,
uh-huh.
you know, you want to have if they fall overboard and they're on their collar and they're a heavy dog, it's hard to pull up. But with the harness, you know, you've got a good grip, and it doesn't hurt them to lift them up.
Uh-huh.
So. Another thing I found was really great. They're called Mutt Luck Boots, and we've used them for 15 years on both Goldens. And they, we found this on the loop. We came across some steel ramps that had had a sign on it not to walk with bare feet. So I put my hand down on it, and I said, "Oh my gosh, if my dog has to walk on this, it's going to cut her feet." And
yeah.
She has yellow ones, and people would stop us and say, "Oh, what are those boots?" And so steel ramps, and there's places with sand burrs and slippery decks. Some of the docks, the boards are separated a little bit. This gives much more traction, and
mm-hmm.
It doesn't take long for them to adapt. They do not come off. They're absolutely wonderful. So we traveled with two sets when we did the loop, and just in case we lost any. But their Mutt Luck boots are highly recommended for a larger dog, especially if you want to run on the beach and there's shells, anything that could cut their feet.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the canine grass, I guess you can also get the potty patch, I think they call it.
Yeah, I've heard about some
yep,
of those.
We tried
tools.
Training Lily, and I waited too long to do it. I should have done it way before we left on the loop. And she finally went after another dog, used it, and she scented it, and then she went after that. But she'd rather go for a walk. But it was something that I would suggest highly is training your dog to go, especially if it's raining and you're anchored and you have to go in the dinghy and it's late at night and the weather's bad. It's a very good thing to do.
I've also seen ladders that boaters have on their boats to help the dogs in the water for swimming.
Yep, we didn't have one, but friends of ours who have the three Goldens love to swim, and they have one. It goes right into the water, and so if they fall overboard or if they want to go swimming, they can. It attaches to the swim deck,
uh-huh.
and they can just climb right up on the boat. So that's
okay.
it. Yeah.
Anything else you would recommend?
Yes, definitely. Dog walk bags, doggy walk bags.
Oh, yes.
Do not leave home without them.
Uh-huh.
Marinas, every marina we went to were fine with a dog, but they just want you to pick up. So doggy walk bags are good to have.
Necessity.
Yes, necessity.
Okay, I think we'll break for a quick commercial if Steve
okay.
is ready.
I'm ready.
Okay, would you play it, please?
Northport Bay Boatyard is a complete marine service facility located on Grand Traverse Bay in Northport, Michigan. They feature over 85,000 square feet of heated storage, and they are offering loopers a 10% discount on heated storage, as well as a winter labor rate of $75. That's a $10 discount off their usual rate. For more information, visit www.npbby.com. or call 231-386-5151. Northport Bay Boatyard is a proud commander sponsor of AGLCA.
Okay.
Barbara, I've heard that boats who like to anchor have a very difficult time if they have pets aboard. Is that true in your opinion?
Well, we had a little bit of a problem because we had trouble with our engine, so we used our dinghy for a little bit, and then we had to rely on another looper who had a dog to be our taxi. The thing is, you just have to be able to put your dinghy down, and, you know, like I said, we tied our dinghy to our boat to make it secure and safe, and you just have to watch. It wasn't a problem as the weather was nice every time that we had to anchor and get Lily to shore. But I can imagine what it would be, if it was a storm and the weather was bad, it was late at night. So you basically have to have a dinghy that's working, the engine's working, and you have to drop it every time you anchor, which a lot of people do anyway for themselves to, investigate things.
Uh-huh.
And
I imagine it really helps if you train them to use the canine grass.
That's good. That's good for emergencies. If it's, like I said, late at night, bad weather, but normally, it's nice to take a romp in the Georgian Bay, walking along the rocks, and
sure.
Lily loves her dinghy ride to shore. And so you just need to watch when you're anchoring in desolate places, you need to watch the terrain, rocks, sticks, sand burrs. There could be mud in some places. In some places they heard snakes. We didn't anchor down the 10-tom only because we were worried about where to take her for a walk. So if your dog was trained and you anchored in some desolate areas and swampy areas, you wouldn't have to worry about that. So it wouldn't make your life easier anchoring if your dog was trained to use the canine grass.
Uh-huh. Did you ever get to a place where you absolutely couldn't get her out to because there was no place to walk?
The only part I would think was coming down the Mississippi and the little channels where you had to anchor. I wasn't on the boat at the time. I took a week off. We had somebody crewing for Jim, and Lily was with me. But I heard from other loopers that when you got to the shore, it was very muddy.
Uh-huh.
And I think that was the only place I think that caused a problem. I don't know what they did. I think they just walked in the mud. They had a smaller dog, so it was probably easier. But I think every place we anchored, in the Georgian Bay and all that, there was a place to scout around for a good rock landing area.
Okay. Have you ever had problems with marinas, not letting the dogs come aboard?
Nope. Every marina we stayed at was pet-friendly. The only thing was there was one marina on the Hudson River that has a special dock for dogs. It's a condominium complex, and it's not the marina, it's the condo complex. But they do have a dock that if you tell them that you've got a dog, they will put you on the dock that doesn't walk on the sidewalk in front of the buildings. It takes you right to the dog walk area and parking lot.
Is checking out whether the marina is pet-friendly something that you did on a regular basis, or you just assumed it would be okay?
I never questioned about having a dog. We just called for reservations, or we pulled in, and there was never a problem.
Great, because we've heard some chatter that some of the marinas don't like you to have a dog, and that was something you'd have to check, but that was not your experience.
No, I would probably, I know when we travel in motels, we always double check, but I think it's probably good if you're going to make a reservation to mention, I think maybe we did quite a few times mention we had a dog, and they said it was fine. We never ran across anybody that didn't permit a pet, but I'm sure there might be marinas out there that do. We just never ran into that.
Great.
There was one on the Keys just as you come out the Intercoastal. We were visiting some looper friends, and it was a condo complex. They let her in only to visit. Small dogs only, they could not touch the ground, but they let us run in quickly, stay on the boat, visit, and then run out quickly. But that was the only place that would not take pets. I don't remember the name of it that I know of, but every other marina we went to was fine.
Okay. It would be helpful if they had some kind of posting on whatever, whether they were pet-friendly or not, but I guess it's pretty safe to assume it'll be fine.
Yeah, I would just, if you're making a reservation, I would just mention we have a pet.
Uh-huh.
Safe, but I don't think there's a problem.
Good advice.
Yeah, they do, I think, request, picking up after your dog, leashes, have your dog leashed, just for safety.
Uh-huh.
So as long as people follow that, and dog's well-behaved, doesn't bark, doesn't make a lot of noise.
It's just basically, again, common sense.
Yep, common sense and a well-mannered, behaved dog.
And we've already basically covered docks, that the floating docks are much easier than fixed docks.
Yes.
And you need to have a plan on how to get your dog on and off, which is something basic that you probably do just to get started.
Right. Well, we were just thinking fixed docks, just regular fixed docks, and then we got to some areas, especially in Florida, where the docks were only maybe 10 feet long, and some of them are like 2 feet, 3 feet wide. So even scooting up with a tailgate ramp, we were afraid she might just keep going and go over the other side. Some of them are very pointy at the end, and they were, so those are, you just have to be careful with six docks with a larger dog.
You have to be careful with people, too.
I mean, there was one place in, I forget, we're in Florida, I think Tarpon Springs. They were so narrow and skinny, and it was low tide. We couldn't get off. We just took off that morning and left, and that was it. It was very significant. So I guess it was the winter, you know, coming to December, and the tides were much more significant. And
we've had experiences where we try to put our ladder down, and it just goes over the end of the fixed dock. It's just no room there.
No, you can't, and it wasn't even safe for people to try to come off. It was it wasn't safe, you know. So it's the fixed docks were the only issue that we ever had, but we managed. We came up with a plan. Just have to be aware. Tailgate ramp came in handy, and the harness. Having a harness, something to grab and hold on to your dog.
Yes. Okay, it seems like there's a lot of extra things to worry about when you've got a pet aboard. What are the advantages of traveling with a pet?
I think traveling with Lily is everything. There wasn't anything that I found. If we ever did the loop again or wherever we travel, we take her with us. It's just nice to have your best friend along. She loved meeting people. We met people through her because they had to get their golden retriever fix. Seeing new sights, going for walks with her, just being aboard. She's our family. And it was just worth all the extra work and planning that we wouldn't have done it any other way, except I would have trained her to use the canine grasp.
Uh-huh.
Otherwise, she had a great time and we had a great time. And it was
wonderful.
Nice to have shared it with her and her with us.
What were the disadvantages, though?
The only disadvantage, I think, well, it's a long run on a boat. We've traveled 14 hours on a boat. She can hold it for that amount of time. We just was a little bit careful just getting her ice cubes and a little bit of water that morning. Again, the canine grass would come in handy. So you have to kind of plan how long you want to do your trip. I was always worried how she would feel if the seas got rough. And when we crossed the Gulf, we did have five-footers, and she did better than I did. She just hunkered down in her spot, and she was fine. When you sightsee, just like at home, you have to realize your dog is on the boat. So if you want to be gone for 10 hours, you have to remember you've got a pet aboard. And anchoring, you just have to work out the anchoring, the dropping the dinghy, getting her on safely, finding a safe place to walk her. Other than that, we just enjoyed having her with us, and I would do it again.
Well, that's fantastic. I really thank you for all that input. I know you've given talks to other organizations. Are you involved with the Power Squadron at all?
No, we're members of the Coast Guard Auxiliary, and we take boating safety classes, and I try to do a little segment on if anybody has a pet, and if they like the information I gave to you, pass it along to people, even if they don't do the loop, if Long Island Sound is part of the loop area, Hudson River, that area, and going up to Maine and everything, so pass along, and I still learn more things from other people too as we travel, like the canine grass. Our friends have three goldens and one is a male, and they actually took artificial bushes and tied it onto their railing so the male dog could lift his leg. And they use the canine grass. They trained all three to use it. And they anchor 90% of the time, and they just use this for nighttime. Three goldens.
Oh, my goodness.
And they anchor most of the time, and they use it just late at night and early in the morning. Other than that, they take the dogs in the dinghy to shore.
Uh-huh.
But, they're the ones that use the ladder that goes into the water.
They must have quite a large dinghy with three golden retrievers and at least one adult.
They do. They don't take three at a time. I think they might take...
Okay.
I think they do. Now they have a pretty big dinghy. They have one of the larger ones with a hard floor. That's another thing, too, in a dinghy. We have a hard floor dinghy, and we put bath mats on the bottom of the floor of the dinghy for added traction because the fiberglass is slippery.
Yes.
So,
Barbara, do you have a blog that you might be able to share with us?
Yes, we do. I haven't added to it since we finished the loop, actually a year after we added to it, but I haven't added to it recently. It's called GoldenLilyTug.com.
Okay, great. Thanks for sharing. Is there anything else you'd like to ask, Steve?
Nope.
I think that's it then, Barbara. This has been tremendously informative. Thank you very much for the time you put into it.
Okay, you're welcome. I was happy to do it.
We'll log off now. Everybody have a good weekend. We'll be back next week with another blog radio segment. Bye.